yourself.
Hey, everybody. It's another episode of Go Flix Yourself. My name is Ben Conowitz, and with me, as always, is the showtime to my HBO, Brad Vernoman.
Hey, that's me. We get a little bit naughty.
And the Cinemax to my HBO.
Oh.
Nate Laux.
Wavy lines, wavy lines, wavy lines.
I maybe a Cinemax.
I almost saw a nipple. Wait, is that Emmanuel in space? I don't know.
Cinemax was where the good stuff was.
Oh, we called it Skinemax. All right, listen, guys. Our little friend group, we came up with it. We called it Skinemax, and we thought we were pretty cool.
Did you guys pay for Cinemax?
No, there was at one point.
Yes.
Your dad did.
Oh, they did for sure.
We had HBO, Cinemax, and Showtime when I was growing up because I like movies.
No, it's because they were rich.
No, honestly, because my mom and dad love movies. Like, the reason I got into movies in the first place, by the way, this is Go Flix Yourself. It's a movie podcast where we talk about movies and trailers and
TV shows,
whatever. They love movies. My mom and dad got it because my grandfather, Mel, and my grandmother, they were cinephiles back in the day, too. You know what? They actually would rent the VCR over in Merrillville and rent like 9 tapes on a credit card.
Jeez.
And then my mom would get
that was like a shink
yep.
credit card.
You get the VHS tape, or sorry, the VHS player, and then like everybody would get it for like 3 days of the 2 week rental. So you'd have to watch all 9 movies, and so my mom and dad would watch the movies and then take it to their brother's house, and like, you know,
bold.
They did that back in the '70s. So that they're cinephiles. That's why we had it.
One time they did one of
those. Also, they were fucking rich.
Where they did like a trial run of the movie channels to try and like get you to sign up. And ours just never went away. So we had the movie channels for
doing like Homer Simpson and stealing cable?
No. We seriously just got them for a solid decade. And they
decade?
They seriously never went away.
I wouldn't say that in the mic. They'll probably start to, they'll charge you somehow now.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Multimedia Cable, which isn't even a company anymore, is going to come back and get their money from us.
That got bought out by Xfinity, I'm sure.
Comcast, and now they're called Xfinity.
Well, you know, I'm just cutting to the quick here.
Yeah, well, you don't understand how.
So,
business works.
Your dad demanded that you guys have Cinemax, right?
No, my mom. But
mom's the one who likes softcore porn.
That's why whenever I go over there and I just find a box of blank VHS tapes, I throw them away.
I thought that was going to go in a different direction.
It could be a fifth birthday party, or it could be me taping over a fifth birthday party.
It could be over a 50th birthday party.
Yeah, it could be any of those.
Did you ever use a VHS?
All the time, dude. I had my own porn collection. I mean, Cinemax, you know, I had best hits of and like, you know, whatever, like
boner
greatest hits. Honestly, I remember like it's like 22 minutes, 15 seconds into this one's my favorite scene. Yeah, because I was a horny little dude.
Yeah.
When I was 25.
Yeah, I had some tapes too.
We all did, man.
No, I never had a tape.
What?
I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the podcast because I would record them overnight.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
yeah, just like
sophisticated.
I would record overnight and wait, and then the next day when
see what you got.
Yeah,
see
what you got. Oh sweet, got a new episode of Hot Springs Hotel.
So basically, Brad would set the lobster trap and then come back and be like, "Did I catch any lobsters tonight? Exactly. I left it overnight."
And I got a lot of lobsters with huge tits.
And a couple times with empty cages. Like, was there like anything that wasn't porn at that kind of? Or
Yeah. Because like it would only be for like
a Bryant Gumbel show.
Yeah, you get Real Sports. you'd get Ricochet.
You'd be there like watching Real Sex, and all of a sudden it turns to Real Sports, and you're like, I gotta finish.
But no, it was like
more like Bryant Gumbel.
Oh jeez, it was a 2 to 3 hour window usually that it would happen. You know, late at night. And so, and then eventually it would change over. So,
there was a show called Herman's Head.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Herman's Head,
and my parents let me watch it with them, which is really weird because in his head he had a lot of fantasies, like scantily clad ladies and things like that.
Oh yeah, of course.
And they were fine with me at like, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old watching that.
Do you know who was in Herman's Head?
No, I don't actually.
Hank Azaria.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy. Yeah. That Hank Azaria, young Hank Azaria.
Yeah, he must have been really young at that time.
So, Brad, what's the last movie? Oh, wait. I almost forgot.
No, we don't have to do it. It's okay.
What's the last movie you saw, Brad?
What were we going to do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
What do you mean?
What's the last movie you saw?
Hey, Ben, let me ask you something.
I knew it. Damn it. We talked about this. I was going to try to skip this one.
Ben, what's your favorite summer treat?
You've asked me that before.
What's your favorite summer delicious treat?
You don't like deliciousness.
I don't really like treats in the summer.
What's your favorite shitty treat in the summer?
You know, I'm honest, I like a milkshake.
What kind of milkshake?
Just a straight up chocolate milkshake.
Yep,
I like.
What? Do you like to get it at the restaurant where you get like the leftovers in the metal tin cup?
I mean, whatever. It, you know, it depends on where I'm at.
I fucking love when they give me the leftover milkshake.
Oh, okay. That got aggressive. I fucking love when they get, you know, that you get that metal spoon and you just clink around there. It's like a milkshake and a half.
There's a VHS tape of it. I guarantee you.
It stays cold.
I get it, buddy.
It's delicious.
So what did you bring for us today?
Nate, what's your favorite sound treat?
I enjoy ice cream, cookie dough particularly.
Okay.
I also enjoy, during the summertime,
what if Nate just said, just getting really fucked up and just get like hammered drunk?
I don't know if there's anything else I enjoy.
What about when it comes to like do you guys like anything like fruity or tropical?
I like watermelon.
Watermelon?
Push here. Like if I have to have
a fruit.
You know,
do you think we don't look like people that eat a lot of fruit.
No, we don't eat a lot of fruit. But I will say when I was a kid, I did like fruit by the foot.
Oh, okay.
You know,
oh.
I did
was
like
that around when we were kids?
Yeah, of course it was. What are you talking about?
Did you not get fruit by the foot?
Did you not have a childhood?
Did you get fruit roll-ups?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we were poor too, but like I still got fruit snacks.
But fruit by the I had
fruit by the foot's name brand.
Fruit by the inches.
Yeah, exactly.
Fruit by the meter.
The meter's longer than a foot.
Yeah, but it was made of just not the right stuff.
But the fruit by the foot wasn't just 12 inches though, right?
It was 3 feet.
Yeah, so it'd be a meter.
It's not 3 feet.
I don't know. I'm making that up.
There's no way.
It wasn't. No, a foot.
It was just a foot.
I think it was 3 feet.
It was 2 feet.
I don't know.
We'll look it up.
I'm going to the computer now, boys.
3 feet.
How long
I'm
going to
say it was two and a fourth.
No, I'm saying 3 feet.
Foot. Two and a fourth.
3 feet.
A fruit by the foot is about 3 feet long.
Boom!
Or 1 yard.
Boom, motherfucker.
A yard, not a meter.
No, I didn't say that.
You said it was a meter.
The joke was meter.
You said it was about a meter.
No. Play it back, motherfucker.
I don't need to play it back. All
right, did you bring fruit by the foot?
No, of course I didn't.
Well,
bring
now I'm disappointed.
Okay, well, but I do have a fruity treat for you.
Yeah, you're a fruity treat.
Don't look at. You can't say that.
Yeah, well, sure I can.
No,
I didn't say anything bad. I said you're a fruity treat.
It's not on the line.
What?
I don't know. I'm just doing.
Don't take that out of the fucking podcast. You guys are too woke.
I'm doing Marge Simpson.
No, leave it.
It's
not Marge Simpson. You just sound like a disgruntled factory worker.
Now I sound like a broken machine.
All right, go ahead and throw it. No.
Throw the package.
Wow,
it went over the fucking couch.
Don't look at the package. Don't spoil anything.
Actually, I do. I tell people that all the time. Don't look at the package. My eyes are up here. Oh, it's like very fruit by the footy.
Yeah, he's got stuff in him.
Oh.
There's some lemon. Is there some lemonade?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It almost reminds me of like a gusher.
You guys like gushers?
I love gushers.
I like gushers too. Mm-hmm. What about what's your favorite kind of fruit snack?
My favorite fruit snack?
Grape, the purple gushers.
Purple gushers?
Yep.
I rarely like grape flavor things because it always tastes like medicine to me.
No.
Except for grape soda. I love grape soda. My favorite fruit snack.
Is just a Twizzler with something inside of it?
It's probably the tropical fruit roll ups.
Really?
Yeah.
What about, have you ever had the Scooby snack? Fruit snacks are really delicious.
Those are pretty good. You know what the ones I miss are the shark-shaped fruit snacks.
Who made them?
You remember those? I think Betty Crocker.
Remember when you were a kid and those Flintstones fruit snacks?
Yeah, those are good.
No. You mean the vitamins?
Oh,
no, they were there
vitamins.
Was, no, they
freaking
were,
candy.
No, they weren't vitamins. They were crunchy fruit snacks.
Well, I mean, they're vitamins, but like they said they were vitamins, but they were tasted like candy.
Crunchy fruit snacks.
Yeah, they were crunchy.
What the hell is crunchy fruit snacks?
I know what you're saying. They were vitamins. They were Flintstone vitamins.
No, but I would eat like
they're like bottle caps, but they're
I would eat like 100 of those a day.
Well, that's not good.
Because they're like no, it's like you just you know like M&Ms, like you just put them around,
that
but they were crunchy.
Explains a lot. Crunchy fruit snacks.
Is that really that
explains why he had the shitty fruit snacks that one time, and he was like, these are fine. These are hard.
How
fruit
much?
Snacks.
They were, how much the, it, did your piss glow?
It didn't glow.
It would be really yellow.
It was thick, though. It was ropey.
It was like a Twizzler.
Yeah.
You're telling me that those are literal medicine?
I mean, not medicine. Like, they were... like
vitamins aren't medicine, buddy.
But they were vitamins.
You guys take a... Do you guys take a multivitamin?
No, I took hundreds when I was a kid. I don't need to do it anymore.
You don't need to do it anymore. I try to, but I'm bad at it.
I know. I'm on too many medications. It's just too many pills to swallow in the morning.
Too many statins.
I'm like, well, that's for my ADHD. There's for my high blood pressure. There's for my herpes.
That's for
the gonorrhea.
For my dong.
Yeah, that was the joke on the last year, but
I don't know if you got that. That was what he was making.
Yeah, it was a pretty good joke there, Brad.
This one's from my wiener.
But I'm on lisinopril for my heart, and allopurinol for my gout, which is true.
Are both of those true?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you on the heart medicine for?
Look at him.
I have a high blood pressure. Look at me. I'm a dump truck of a human being, like a used, rusty one that nobody likes.
Like the kind that like you see for sale on kind of farmland.
Yeah, and like it's the price on it, and it was just shittily scratched out and lowered.
So these are Twizzlers. Nate, can you tell me what the bag says? Because I forget what the actual name. I think it's Twizzlers like filled or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're filled twists.
Yes, filled twists, and it's pink lemonade flavor on the inside.
Yeah, they're pretty good, actually.
They're really good, yeah. Very, very good tropical flavor. I like these a lot. Every now and then they come out with a new filled flavor.
No,
and,
these are delicious.
These are delicious.
Well, this is old Dump Truck Conowitz coming at you live. Old rusty, broken down Dump Truck Discount Conowitz.
Getting filled with Twizzlers.
Let me just allopurinol all it up, and I'll limp on over and say hi.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm. So, Brad, what's the last movie you saw, buddy? Hmm. You guys want to talk more about herpes?
Yeah.
The herpes?
When was your first case of herpes?
Mm. The year was 1989.
I just got done watching Cinemax.
I was 8 years old.
You know, when birds get it, it's called the chirpies.
I'm going to give you that one. I'm in a laughing mood tonight, buddy. You got me. It's called the Jerpies.
Well, everyone, stop listening. The height of comedy in this podcast just happened.
The last movie I saw was my assigned movie. And when I tell you what this movie is about, see if you can guess who assigned it to me. This is a movie about a young boy living in England, about, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old, who he goes to boxing lessons, but then he takes an interest in ballet. And he really wants to get into ballet dancing. And his dad is like,
Sounds interesting.
That's for girls. Like, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to do boxing. You're going to stay home and take care of your grandmother or something. Yep.
Did you watch the movie?
But he wants to keep doing it. And so he keeps taking lessons, like, in private. And he's really good. He's a great dancer. So that's what the movie is. It's called Billy Elliot. Now, listeners, who do you think assigned me that movie? And if you're thinking Nate Laux, you're wrong. Because it came from old Ben Conowitz.
I like Billy Elliot.
I am shocked that this was a movie that you assigned to me. Because I would expect this from Nate. Would not expect it from old Ben Conowitz.
What year did that come out?
2000.
Yeah. So I remember watching it with my parents. Like I was home from college or whatever
it was.
And
they forced you to watch it and you didn't have a date that night?
Big family movie house, you know? So I remember like the first time I saw the full Monty was with my parents.
Yeah.
They really love. I watched The King's Speech with my parents. I've watched all these movies that
Your
I know.
Parents have an affinity for British movies.
Honestly, I think they do. I've probably seen a lot of British films with my parents.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's really funny that I named those three. Yeah. Right? But yeah, no, I mean, it's a delightful film.
No, it really is.
It's like the beginning of Jamie Bell's career.
Yeah,
right?
It's young Jamie Bell. Who, if you don't know Jamie Bell, he was in Jumper. He was in King Kong.
Oh no! Wait, I think I meant to give you Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Well, that makes sense. but yeah, it really is just a wonderful movie. It's the guy who plays the father played McGlowan in Gangs of New York, who's like a real kind of like brutish, like one of Bill the Butcher's
Wait, what's his name?
I forget his real name. Oh, he's not God. He's not super famous or anything, but
he's a character actor.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Cole Meany?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I can't remember his name.
It's Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
McLovin?
McLovin. But yeah, I really like this movie a lot. I had been meaning to watch it for a while, too, because I knew what it was. And
sure.
Like, just it was a bit of a prestige movie, too. It got nominated for Best Director and Best Screenplay. And
I did not know that when I gave it to
you. Supporting Actress. But yeah, it's very, very good. It's Gary Lewis. Plays the father.
Gotcha.
Plays McLowan in Gangs of New York. So yeah, that's the last movie I saw was the one that I was assigned.
Watch anything else?
I did watch some other things. I went to go see The First Omen, and that is not anyone in my family. It is
my great-great-great-grandpappy.
there's a...
Because you're Irish.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I.
That's Jamaican.
Oh, yeah, man. It
just gets worse.
Wow.
We going downtown. Oh,
what are you doing? And by the way, what classic Jamaican phrase is that? We going downtown.
Oh, slapping my bass.
That one I get, but we're going downtown.
You never heard them say that?
You know how Jamaican people always say, we're going downtown?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Downtown.
Oh, we going downtown. Idiot.
I saw The First Omen, which is a prequel to The Omen, the original horror movie.
Prequel to The Second Omen.
See, he's got jokes. Wow, Brad was not happy with that, Nate.
I swear to God, if you eat all those Twizzlers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, wait. Whoa, dude.
Shh. Yeah, you can't just sit there and keep chomping Twizzlers throughout the entire night. We're going to hear you smacking your lips.
Who said?
Me. I'm the snack Gestapo.
Do you want to be like Luke Stark? You got a cup of ice you want to chew into the mic, too?
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, so this movie came out a week after Immaculate, has a very similar story, you know, kind of a Rosemary's Baby riff in a way. And. But it is very, very good. There's some pretty twisted stuff in it. It's pretty spooky. Definitely a solid demonic, you know, baby and like devilish church kind of thing. Nate, do you like those kind of horror movies or do they hit too close
Nate
to home?
Nate doesn't like any horror movie. We've been over this.
But he does watch them occasionally.
When we give them to him.
Yeah, I know. But
ever sit down to watch those.
Like, I don't choose to fill my life with such
horror. We're
going
to have to fill you up with these then.
But, like, how would you rate this as one of the, like, is it one of the better horror films you've seen lately?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, for sure. It's great performances, pretty gruesome stuff. Solid. Some shocking moments, I think, too. Like, just things that I was not expecting that are just, like, gross. And
I don't really recognize many of the names in the
Bill Nighy is in it.
Yeah.
But
is it Nighy or Nighy?
I don't know, one of the two. Nighy.
I call him Bill Knightley.
It's always one of those that I never know and I don't say confidently.
Yeah, it's The First Omen, it's in theaters, and if you do like horror movies, I would recommend checking that one out because it's a good time. Very enjoyable.
All right.
And then I also watched The Idea of You, which is a new romance. I hesitate to call it like a full romantic comedy because if I say that, like, you're going to expect it to be really funny, and it's not really funny. Not because it's unfunny, but because it's not trying to be very funny, if that makes sense.
So is it more like Sleepless in Seattle where there's a couple funny moments, but it's definitely not a comedy?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's directed by Michael Showalter, actually.
Oh, wow.
Who did The Big Sick.
But it's not?
No, I know. It's because, The Big Sick is hilarious, but it's also a great romance. But more recently, he's been leaning into...
You know, Brad, Nate, I got a pull quote on the poster for The Big Sick.
Oh, this motherfucker.
Like, when they quoted me.
What'd you say?
It was the most bombastic movie of our times.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Anyway, continue. Anything you want to add?
More recently,
any course corrections you want to make there?
No, I'm good.
You sure? Not about the movie The Big Sick and a pull quote. Nothing.
The listeners know, and they, receipts.
Oof! I don't know that a little big for your britches, there, buddy. I don't think that anybody knows.
No, it's called Big Sick, not Big Britches.
Oh boy.
You know, get your movie titles right. I said it was the most authentic romantic comedy in years.
I knew you couldn't stay away, you dumb motherfucker.
And it was on the poster and buses.
Oh, man,
and
he
billboards.
He just couldn't. I was going to give you so much. Dude, I was going to give you so much props.
I'm proud.
Proud. I was going to give you so much props for moving on.
No.
I really was. I mean, organically,
never.
In my soul,
no.
I was like, oh my God, he's actually going to one-up me here. And then you didn't. You fucking fell right into it.
You just couldn't stop.
Because
I one-up you by fucking like destroying your bullshit.
Nope.
It's
not
terrible.
Even a little bit. Oh boy, buddy.
Michael Showalter has gotten a little more serious.
He just jumps right back.
Recently with his work because he did Spoiler Alert, and which is like more of a kind of like a sad romance with Jim Parsons.
Okay.
And then he also did The Eyes of Tammy Faye, which is that movie about
Tammy
Faye.
I watched that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and this is more of a pure romance. There are some amusing.
I did not realize that was Michael Showalter.
I know,
that,
right?
As a Tammy Faye. That was a fine. The performances were fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know that he could have done much with the direction because the plot itself was just very by the numbers.
For sure, and like I think what he brought to it though is he let it play out in a way where it was naturally funny without mocking the Bakers or doing anything.
So
you know?
I will say in that, so the light touch of that director.
Yeah.
I agree because you could easily just turn it on like look at how horrible these humans are.
Yeah.
But to find Tammy Faye relatable a little bit is hard to do.
And I think that's one thing I've noticed with his movies that aren't straight up comedies is one of the things that he is very, very good at. And it's why I love The Big Sick. And like to go back to my quote though, is that he's very good at finding authenticity within characters and how to portray them, especially in the scripts that he writes. Like he just knows how to make things feel natural. And so The Idea of You is his latest movie. It is more of a pure romance. And if you watch the trailer, you might watch and be like, okay, because I saw the trailer and I was like, oh,
okay,
all right, yeah. Like I was like, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of disappointed that Michael Showalter did this because it didn't really seem like his style, even with his like what he's done more recently. But it stars Anne Hathaway and Nicholas Galitzin, and it's kind of a Notting Hill situation where she meets this younger kid who is part of a boy band who is like at Coachella, and they accidentally meet, and he, you know, is like interested in her, and so they strike up a romance.
Where she's in her 40s and he's in his young 20s?
Yeah, she just turned 40 and he's, you know, in his 20s, and he really likes her, and she... It is hesitant, but you know they start in a relationship and it really the way it digs into the characters and the way it's presented, I was very disarmed by how pure the romance was and how like well drawn the characters were, and I really appreciated what Showalter brought to the table because it's a story that like feels cheesy on the surface and like feel like you know what it's gonna do. But it really brings it together in a package that does make you understand like the position that they're in and like the struggle that comes with being in a relationship with a famous person. And not just on like a surface level thing, but like just like Anne Hathaway deserves so much credit too for this too, because like she just really breathes life into this character, and I was super impressed by it.
Long Shot vibes?
Long Shot is a lot funnier.
Okay. This is more of a straight romance.
Yeah, because Long Shot really goes for big jokes. There's maybe like four or five laugh out loud moments, and like there's no like obvious joke setting. There's no like funny like things where people are saying like oh geez, you look like you know this, or like oh that's like there's no obvious setups or anything or like punchlines or anything like that.
So it's not this one particularly isn't the most authentic romantic comedy in years.
That's true.
So
would you? So your pull quote for this is not the most authentic romantic comedy in years.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, put that on the poster.
So is this like the story of Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles, kind of?
So there were rumors that
Wilde Styles.
There were rumors,
well, like an older woman, younger.
There were rumors that it might be kind of about Harry Styles because it is a British guy in a boy band and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And I think that like that's an influence that comes from just general pop
culture.
Well,
there's also that's a pretty broad brush, right?
Yeah.
Anybody also, can be a boy band. Anybody can be an actress.
And plus, with Olivia Wilde, like she's also a famous person. So this is more so about a completely non-famous person suddenly in a relationship with somebody who is very famous. And
more like Notting Hill,
right? sorry, Nate, that was pretty good. You gotcha. Are you flipping him off with your foot? I don't know.
He's making very just, pointed just toes at me. Also, are you wearing capris? What is going on here?
This is a capris.
You are wearing capri pants.
Are you eating a caprese salad?
What is that? What are you doing?
A caprese salad?
You guys want to go downtown?
That's not even a Jamaican accent. That was... Hey,
it Brad, evolves.
Brad,
it evolves.
Do a Jamaican. Do you guys want to go downtown? That was basically kind of Australian. Y'all want to go downtown? This is my Jamaican accent where you go downtown. Okay.
downtown.
oh my word!
But no, the idea of you—it's going to be on Prime Video in the beginning of May, I think.
May 2nd.
There you go. And it played South by Southwest, and but yeah, it's—I really liked it. I'm actually going to interview Michael Showalter in the next couple days about it. So
nice. Make sure you tell him it's not the most authentic romantic comedy.
That's
in
the
years.
First thing I'm going to say, like right out of the gate.
Being that this is not the most authentic romantic comedy in years, what would you say?
What do you say?
Do you still find any pride in making it?
Yeah, I watched your shitty trailer. Let me tell you.
If you watch the trailer, you'll be like, yeah, I don't need to see that.
Fair enough.
But yeah, and
come on, studio, do a better job of cutting Michael Showalter's trailers.
I agree. Tell him.
I just did.
Tell him.
No, he just did.
I did. I literally just said it.
Hey, Nate.
What?
What's the last movie you saw?
The last movie I saw was a movie freaking...
I like upset Nate because he still doesn't say fuck. He's like, I freaking this jerky freaking.
The way his body's moving too, you can tell he's really unsettled.
Yeah,
by
whoa.
It. Yeah.
Because you know, I've said things to you
in private,
in private and in public.
Yeah.
About the types of movies that I like and don't like.
Man, I forgot what you gave him. Now I'm like on the edge of my seat. Like audience, I don't even know what's going on right now.
There are certain films, types of films that I don't enjoy to watch because they leave me with nightmares. Particularly in movies where you're in space. I'm not talking Star Wars. Oh. I'm not talking anything that's like fantasy related. I'm talking you are tethered to a spaceship and all of a sudden the tether is gone and you're floating and you don't know what.
And why are you floating, Nate?
And this is
exactly,
it due
to the lack of, is it
due this
to
the, is exactly
the lack
what
of something?
Happens this in this movie.
What was lacking to prevent the
it's called
tether.
Gravity.
Ah, we got there.
So this is a film.
It's called Untethered.
Starring just two people. Just two people. Sandy Bullock, America's Sweetheart, and George Clooney, who...
America's Handsome.
Also, I would say space is probably a pretty big character in
the
movie.
Come on.
Kind of like how New York's a character in, you know, You've Got Mail.
Kind of like Central Perk is a character in Friends.
So this is a space film, but it's a survival film, right?
Yeah.
It is a film about two people trying to survive... And everything's going wrong, and there's so much suspense in this film because
I'm kind of surprised you avoided this actually because it was a pretty big deal, like in the awards. And
no,
like
no,
everything.
But it's only
and it's only 90 minutes
yeah,
long.
Yeah, no, but here's the thing. This is what you don't know about me, because I clearly haven't said it enough. I don't like space movies where I could have a nightmare about being untethered from the ISS.
Mm-hmm.
And floating into Mars.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like
floating that. Into Mars.
I don't like that.
You know, you'd
it'll take you a long time to float into Mars, but you're going to be dead
long
be before long, you can even register that you're floating into
even
Mars.
Even if you had a spaceship and you were yeah. fully stocked with food,
yeah.
it's going to be a long time to float to Mars.
So this is only 90 minutes, but it didn't feel longer. It just felt like my senses were heightened the whole 90
yeah.
minutes.
It's nonstop.
It is. It's so it is a fun film. I like the film. It is, though, like, it made me think of space going, you know, like, you see these astronauts, and they're, I think his name's Chris Hadfield. He's an astronaut that has done multiple, and he does a lot of public speaking now and things like this, and I watched him. He's like, you know, people are like, space is scary. He's like, no, we train. We train, and we train, and we train, and we train, and when we get there, we just follow our training, right? And everything works, and there's contingencies and all these things. And then I watch a film like this, and it's like, nope.
So your next movie I have to give you, I'm going to give you Open Water.
You know this. I don't like. I don't.
You know this.
I know, but this is. We're gonna double up because yeah. instead of space, it's the same thing.
We're gonna try
but,
to help you,
but in the middle of the ocean.
We're gonna help you, Nate.
It's a psychological term called flooding, where we just give you a bunch of stuff and you habituate to it.
Genuinely, a confusing movie to me because
Ben,
I was,
let me ask you: are you happy that you brought back some of your IU degree for
a
that
bit,
conversation?
Yeah. It's not systematic desensitization. It's flooding. It's there's two. There's two.
But I have this long-term crush on Sandra Bullock. And
it's
so
actually the only two things I remember from college.
That existed in this film, but also the anxiety of space. So it was a very, very confusing film for me because I'm like, oh, I like Sandy Bullock. But then I don't like that Sandy Bullock's in space.
How about the sequence?
I like Sandy Bullock, but I don't like that Sandy Bullock's in
no,
space.
No, come back down. Come back down. Put your feet on the ground, Sandy Bullock. Like, you don't have to be in space.
How about that
no,
sequence where the space station just fucking gets
yeah, that's the
torn
thing.
To it's hell?
And as soon as you think, oh, we're going to make it.
Yeah.
We're going to make it
it's
after
so,
all.
It's so good.
They I'm not gonna.
You want to hear another thing I learned in college?
Hold on. Did you notice?
No.
I assume you noticed the cool thing about how it was shot. Yes.
In space.
No, but really though.
No, what?
You did not realize?
I mean, well, tell me, and I'll tell you if I realize it. But like,
it is, quote unquote, shot to be presented as if it is done in a one single take.
Oh, okay.
There are no cuts whatsoever.
I mean, I guess now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, but I mean, I didn't think about that when I was watching it because I was so stressed.
And they did do a really kind of cool little Easter egg thing too, where in one of the shots when they have their space helmets with the visor on, in the reflection of I think it's George Clooney's helmet, you can see the fake crew in space like shooting.
Oh wow!
The movie. Yeah, they actually like did a digital effect to like put the crew there.
That's kind of cool.
But if you get a chance. I think you'll be interested in this. Go look up some of the making of as to how.
No, that part is actually
shot
fascinating.
This movie.
Yeah,
it is.
They did shoot it in space.
Yeah. but it is, like I said, it is more a survival film than a space film.
Oh,
it
for
is
sure.
A film where it's almost like it's almost a shipwreck film, right?
Yeah.
Where you're trying to survive, and you
cast away in space.
Yeah, connect deeply to a person to try to survive with, and you know you. There's also the, like you said, the psychology behind it as well, as they realize.
Vast away.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
I'll accept it.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm glad you like this. I love this movie.
It's a good
movie. I think it's
fantastic. I did like that it was only 90 minutes because I couldn't take another minute of this.
Do you want to hear another thing I learned in college?
Sure.
I was in behavioral neuroscience.
Uh-huh.
And the professor, the only thing that I remember from that entire course is that he's like, "Do you want to know why people have foot fetishes?" And I said, "Sure." And then the three other people said, "Sure."
And then he took off his socks.
And he started massaging him. He said, "Your mind is made up of compartments that are like apartments,
mm-hmm.
and some of the walls are thinner than others. And the erogenous zone in the brain is right next to sensitivity in your feet. And some people's walls are very thin. And so if you touch your feet, it kind of vibrates that other part." And he's like, depending on, and he's like, "This is a very dumbed down version of this," but that's how he explained why some people have fetishes that are some ways, because the walls between the erogenous zone and those areas are very thin.
So what are your fetishes then?
I'm really into feet.
Doritos.
I love space movies.
So does that mean that like that my the erogenous part of my brain is close to like the area
food
that, the area of brain that's like for boobs?
No, I think that's because that's the erogenous thing. Like,
oh,
you don't need,
you
know,
yeah, you don't really need another thing.
Oh, okay,
that's actually part of sex. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, technically, feet are part of sex.
Yeah, well, you know, and actually, I'm wrong. Boobs are not necessarily part of sex. So, I'm sorry. I don't. We need somebody better and more equipped.
Nate and I aren't too sure about that.
I mean, think about it. I mean, it's.
I guess they don't have to be part of sex.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but,
but it's a lot like, more fun if they are.
You know what I mean. This got off the rails.
I love how uncomfortable you're getting when this conversation
is
going. So
I know. I just,
you brought this up.
I know, but I wasn't thinking about the.
Hey, guys, you want to hear something I learned? Foot fetishes.
No, but that's, okay.
And you know what? Boobs, not that great. Don't need them. Don't need them.
Don't need them when I'm having my sex.
Listen, I love boobs.
Cool. Did you watch anything else, Nate?
No, that was it.
That's it?
No, I just been busy. I closed on the house and I'm moving.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. And
so you're going to get a big screen TV in there.
I've got a 65 incher. I think I'll bring it.
That's a good one.
I think I'll bring it. I won't leave it.
Yep.
It's a good one.
It's coming with me.
It's a good one.
Good.
Excited about
it. I just heard that pretty soon there's going to be an extremely affordable 85 inch TV
that's
available.
This is too big.
It's getting a little
it's big. Only going to be like big. It's only going to be like $500.
No,
seriously,
it's just too big. It's too big.
It depends on how big your house is, really. Like if you have a big living room, like it would be nice to have a big TV.
Yeah,
but, and plus, and like
you're getting like vinyl screen size there.
Well, that's the thing though, is
projector.
Like it's you're getting closer to like recreating the home theater experience. You know, it's one of the reasons why people aren't going to theaters.
I want one of those.
You sound excited about it.
Well, no, I'm just
like Brad Omen.
I'm surprised.
Says, do you need an 85 inch?
Stay home.
No, but I don't need a lot of things. But like,
well,
I
you need boobs for sex, evidently.
Well, that's just a fact.
I mean, would you be content? Like, what size TV do you have right now? 50?
What size boobs do you?
What size boobs would you?
We know, Brad.
Would you be content?
You
with?
Don't discriminate.
I don't know. Listen, I'll go down to a 32C, but that's it. Okay, if I get anything though smaller than that.
No, mine is 65 too.
65C? Okay. Yeah.
That's so,
a huge bitch.
I was just thinking that. That's a quote.
It's it.
From a movie. We want to be very clear.
Deuce Bigalow, male gigolo.
Anybody's mom that's accidentally listening right now.
Go watch Deuce Bigalow.
Yeah, we don't. No, I actually don't.
But yeah, I have a 65 inch.
Okay.
But I'm just interested because
braggart.
Of how cheap, you know, TV is starting to get now. Because, yeah. Like, those.
That is the one thing. That the tech of TVs and computers, that's the thing that the consumer index price does fall.
Yeah.
Everything else seems to get more expensive. TVs and electronics do get
for sure
bigger for cheaper.
Yeah. Okay. Ben, what's the last movie you saw?
I watched, I introduced Ashley's two boys, 7 and 9 year olds, to the very first Star Wars movie last night.
Mm-hmm.
They've played the video games, they've built the Lego sets, so they kind of knew a little bit about it, but they'd never actually seen Star Wars. So we watched Star Wars last
night. What'd they think? What's it like watching with a 9 and a 7 year old?
So the 7 year old is still at that age where he has to, like, he doesn't like to watch people die on screen. And in Star Wars, people do die, but it's very obviously gimmicky and hokey because it's the 70s. But still, when a red laser hits a guy and he falls down.
There are two pretty gruesome deaths.
There are. Yeah. But that part of it, though, his older brother was telling him that, you know, that, you know, nobody really died, because he's at the age where he's still kind of figure out, like, do people really die in these movies, right, or is these actors? And so his older brother said, hey, you know, nobody's dying. It's fine. And then I was like, no, they're dying. I wrote him to have nightmares. But no, it was, he did that thing where he's like, oh, you can see that guy fell down. You can see that he tried, you know, he's like focusing on the action of the movie, which it's adorable because he doesn't want to stop watching, but he needs to put it in his head. Like, this is fine. This is fine. This is fine. The older one, I mean, just rapt attention, could not break away. I asked him 3 questions. He didn't even look at me. Like, he was in it. Also, it's kind of funny because we live in an age now where kids can know so much from toys.
Yeah.
Legos and toy sets and things like that, and just going over to people's houses for birthday parties, and they've got toys and things. So they knew who Jabba the Hutt was. They knew. They kept asking where Boba Fett was, and I'm like, he's not in this one, but it's just really funny to me that all of these scenes.
What about Jar Jar Binks? Did they ask for Jar Jar?
They did not ask for Jar Jar. But we have at the arcade, we've got a Star Wars battle pod, which one of the things you can do in that battle pod is a 270-degree view. You sit in it and you fly these things.
Death Star Trench Run.
Yes, the Death Star Trench Run is a mission in that game, and both the boys have played that multiple times. So when that part happened, they were in, they knew exactly what it was, and they were all about it. So that was really cool. And I haven't seen Star Wars front to back in probably 5 years, so it was nice to watch it.
Are they in a similar position that a lot of kids typically end up in, where they are aware of the zeitgeist of Luke, I am your father? So do they know Darth Vader is Luke's father?
I didn't ask that because obviously we're going to watch Empire next, and I want to see what it does.
Right.
I don't know. Not that they're not, you know, smart enough, but I don't know if that's not really in the toys, right? You don't see that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't
unless you have, like, a talking, you know, Darth Vader or something like that.
So
it's also like, it's also such a famous thing,
exactly.
and it's in pop culture a lot. Because, like, for me, I never had a moment when I was a kid where I was like, what? Because I always knew the
me
line
too.
Luke, I am your father. You know, so, like, it was always in my mind.
We're gonna watch. So Star Wars Day is coming up. May the 4th be with you. At the arcade, we always do a huge. Last year we did it. We're gonna blow it out this year. It's gonna be awesome. So we're gonna try to watch at least the first three before May the 4th.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to see if the kids, you know, if they that's where that line comes from, or like, oh well, duh, we knew that. I don't know. You know, it's exciting to see watch it through their eyes though. It's pretty
cool. I'd be interested to hear what that experience is like.
Yeah, that was neat. And then I haven't been able to watch too many things. I've been decently busy, like Mr. Nate.
Now, you were assigned a movie.
Okay, well, I was assigned the movie last night.
Yeah,
now,
it
whose fault is that?
It's not really a fault. Like, Nate was closing on his house. And
it was kind of someone's fault.
He was busy.
We're all busy lives. Well, most of us have busy lives. But two of us have busy.
Yeah, two of us have busy lives.
Nate and I are pretty busy.
I'm pretty much
Ben a film.
I do want to apologize, though. You guys, like, one of you guys is definitely moving across the country here in the next few months. You got like very busy.
Okay.
One of you guys definitely flew to Texas to figure out like your new
home. Hold on.
One of you definitely also just had a trip to Pixar. So yeah, you guys are real fucking busy.
Hold on, fella. When we ask you when you're moving, you're like, I don't know, somewhere in the future.
I asked Brad.
Yeah, but I still have a lot of shit to do.
I go, Brad, what are you specifically doing tomorrow to prepare for the trip? And he goes, absolutely nothing. I have movies to watch.
That was just true. But no, it's one of those things where like
I don't care.
I'm
Nate. But I did give you a film that I want you to watch, and I thought you would watch it.
Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney movie, Nothing Like You, Nobody Like You.
Oh, I watched that.
Just this week?
Yeah, I watched it when I was in Texas.
I was the only one that has seen that. And I'm like, you know what, Ben? I think there's a couple.
What's it called?
Anyone But You.
There's a couple things in there I think you're really going to like.
Is it Brad's sex stuff?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to tell you. Bring those expectations down.
You don't like Sydney Sweeney?
No. Both for what you're going to expect from Sydney Sweeney and in the movie
itself. I don't expect anything from her. I expect a solid acting job. How dare you?
You expect some kind of job.
No.
Just
want to watch her act.
Close. Same syllable, same first letter, two different letters.
You are just a degenerate tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Gonna love on you tonight. No, I watched Anyone But You with Brittany, and I was not impressed, honestly.
Why didn't you like it? This has got good ratings? People
like this? It has some amusing moments.
Was it the lack of Jamaican actors?
Nobody went downtown. No,
there, you got it back a little bit there. I will give you that.
No, I felt like the script needed some punching up. The jokes didn't land super firmly for me. It felt a little heightened and not like in a way that like I really enjoyed.
Well, now I don't need to watch it.
I think because it's better than he says.
Okay, cool. I'll watch it.
It's okay.
No, I'm not gonna watch it. All right.
Sydney Sweeney, I think has limitations, and this is not the role where I felt like I don't think her and Glenn Powell had great chemistry. To be honest.
I think I told you this when I talked about watching this. She for me doesn't act all that well.
Yeah, she's I'll tell you, she's great and immaculate.
Yeah,
this role where she has to be kind of like herself, it doesn't fit because I don't think she has like an appeal of somebody like. And Anna Kendrick or like
she's not cute.
A Mila Kunis where like she doesn't have a personality that helps a romantic comedy necessarily.
Stop after the word personality.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just kidding.
But no,
I know nothing about The Young Woman.
But she is great in Immaculate. I do think that there are certain kinds of performances that she is great in. This I don't think was better. And like yeah, they just didn't have any chemistry. And especially having watched The Idea of You after this. A movie that like where there is tangible chemistry between the leads, and there are some moments that feel sexy. Whereas the sexy moments in this movie, I was just like, oh, okay, like sure, you're watching two very attractive people get a little steamy with each other. But like, I didn't feel
bone it up.
I didn't feel any like sizzling attraction between them, like you normally do, like in some kind of romance,
like where you normally feel it in your feet.
But yeah.
But yeah, so I was disappointed because I.
What did Brittany think? She didn't like it either?
She fell asleep when there was 15 minutes left, and she did not like it very much either.
Stellar reviews of Brittany.
Up to that point, she was like, at one point, she was just like, I'm not sure I need to watch the rest of this.
I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
I've seen enough Glenn Powell.
she didn't like it very much either. But, so yeah, I thought it was okay. So,
okay.
I'll be interested to see what you think.
Yeah, I can't wait to check it out now, kind of. but no, I also I watched a movie called The Land of Bad.
Oh, with
Russell Crowe
and Liam Hemsworth. Yeah.
So Russell Crowe plays a drone pilot, and drones are like way bigger than I always knew they were pretty big, but you think of drones as like, you know, the ones you fly yourself. But they're basically unmanned aircraft. They're enormous.
Like, well, some of them are.
Well, the military ones, right? So, yeah, you hear about a drone strike, and you're like, oh, but these are like half the size of a fucking F-14, and they've got missiles and shit. So, anyway, Liam Hemsworth plays a character of a guy from the Air Force that is just supposed to be a tag-along to these three Delta Force guys that go behind enemy lines to, like, rescue somebody or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, of course, shit goes bad, and it's a story about how he really needs to keep his shit together to try to save the day still. I think the interesting thing about this film is that that's typically the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that.
Yeah.
There's definitely no need for the Russell Crowe character when you are lone surviving it, right? That's a great example of the movie that's just like that.
Yeah.
This adds the element of the drone, and like, so they can help him sometimes, but sometimes they can't because they refuel in base and come back, and there's footage, there's not footage, and then there's capability to shoot missiles, but only sometimes, you know, and you've only got a certain amount of payload, and so the communication between Liam Hemsworth and Russell Crowe is one thing, but also Russell Crowe is clearly a schlubby, like, you know, he's very, very good at his job, but nobody at the base likes him.
Yeah.
And so any excuse they can get him to just like, hey, man, fuck off, they would do, because he rubs everybody the wrong way. But it's a very interesting juxtaposition when if you're great at your job, but you're not liked by your coworkers, how that could really endanger, like at the office Christmas party, doesn't fucking matter. But in the military, you could be costing a special forces unit their lives.
Right.
And I really did like that aspect. And Russell Crowe's got a pregnant wife, and she's in the hospital about to give birth, and he's on station. So he's like, you know, I just need to be able to check the phone, this and that. There's just a lot going on that actually does add to the movie, in my opinion, instead of a detract. Because I think that you could have that movie be super, like, all over the place. Like, mm-hmm. Why is the wife got to be pregnant? Why is this and that? But I really, in my opinion, it was cohesive enough that it kept me engaged the whole time. And Liam Hemsworth, and especially Russell Crowe, give great performances.
So you liked it?
I really did, actually.
A VOD or...
Yeah, I rented it.
It was in theaters for a little bit. I think it was one of those like AMC exclusive engagement kind of things, because I saw the filmmakers, actually, William Eubank and what's the writer's name? Something for Jarrow.
David.
Yeah, they were promoting it a bunch on Twitter when it was in theater still. But so now it's on
A couple more things about this just real quick. A movie like this has a lot of times they have the dialogue is shit.
Yeah.
Because the three guys that are supposed to have this tag along Air Force guy, like there's going to be one guy's a real asshole to him. It's not like that. This was very grounded. Like, okay, we've got a job to do. We're going to give you a little bit of a hard time, but we just need to get your shit together. And like, they clearly have a camaraderie, even though they're from different mm-hmm. areas of the Air Force and or different areas of the military. It just felt like that's what those people would really say, I suppose. And I love that rather than like a tongue-in-cheek joke that wouldn't really happen. I fucking hate when they shoehorn shit.
It felt slightly less tropey.
Yeah, it did. It really did. Honestly, yeah. It was a way less paint by numbers than it could have been, and I respected it.
So I would recommend going out of your way. And maybe I'll just assign this movie to you at some point anyway. There's a movie that these two filmmakers teamed up on a while back called The Signal that is a sci-fi movie. It played at Sundance. It's very good, very intriguing, mystery sci-fi kind of movie.
Cool.
And then they actually also worked on Underwater together.
With Kristen Stewart?
Uh-huh. Did you see Underwater?
I did.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. No, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people... have a hard pass on Kristen Stewart for some reason, and fuck those people, but that's a really good movie.
Some people also like they kind of felt like shit on it because they're like, oh, it's an Alien ripoff. It's like, no, like sure, it has elements of Alien, but
you're
like,
allowed to
it has its own merits. It's still very well done.
You can do something that is homage-y, and as long as it's well done, then why not?
I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, no,
Underwater is very good, so
yeah,
we'll have to give it to Nate. He'll love it.
Did I ever give you Crawl to watch?
Yeah, you gave me Crawl.
I fucking love that movie.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is a very Ben Conowitz movie.
Oh God, it's just silly and fun.
Yeah,
yeah, over the top. You know, whatever. Not quite like a Sharknado, but like almost there. Very Lake Placid.
Exactly.
Lake Placid for sure.
Yeah, a little more bougie. A little more bougie than Sharknado.
Trying to think if I saw anything else, but I don't believe that I did. Bradford,
nothing.
I don't believe so. Not the. I mean, it'll probably come to me, and I'll interrupt you later.
Of course.
You know how it works.
All right. Well, I think you know what time it is, Ben.
Yeah, it's time for you to sing a trailer song.
Mm.
Listen, I've done a lot of the heavy lifting while making the listeners laugh tonight. You've done like a lot of nothing. So I'm going to need you guys to come up with a trailer song.
It's an interesting perspective to have on.
It's so true.
It's kind of not that true, but like, because I felt like you've been adequately funny.
I'm sorry.
You've
said some things. Vastaway? Are we in the same room where that got said? There's air in this room. I said Vastaway, and you guys are not.
But you also... You also didn't think that boobs were important.
Yeah,
you know what? I will go to my grave and be lamenting that forever. I will die a rotten to the core man because of that. I'm sorry.
Well, you're already here first.
That I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. This rusty old shitty dump truck of a discount man.
Oh my God.
You okay?
I'm having a great time. It's good. Everything's fine.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm so happy to be here. I haven't had a drink in a week. It's been...
I'm not sure if my dad loves me.
No, I know he does. I know he does.
Hey, Ben, do you want to watch trailers? Nate loves the trailers, and we watch them twice. Maybe.
Okay. I like
it. Hey, Nate and Ben, here comes some movie trailers. We watch some trailers for some upcoming movies. They had varying levels of quality.
I'm sure.
And we'll see them in the future after the trailers have been out. Oh, we watched a few trailers. Oh, let's start with the first one.
Let's start with the first one. What are you, James Lipton?
Ben, you first watched the trailer for Joker Folie à Deux.
When Joker first appeared on the screen, in this obvious cinema classic.
This is the trailer for the Joker sequel.
And what's the next trailer we watched?
I don't care.
I'm going to confess. I did not see Joker yet.
Okay.
You're fine. No, you're fine.
I would be curious to see what you think about it because you're more removed from like the.
You know what I don't like? I just don't like
boobs.
I just don't like what. Like, it's like I like Tom Segura. I just don't like the people that like Tom Segura. Joker, the movie is fine, but I just don't like the people that like the movie Joker.
I don't even
like, not like it, but just like. Oh, and like this one is only going to be the worst people that fucking are. Oh, that's me and my girlfriend. Oh, go fuck yourself, you piece of shit. Put out the fucking Marlboro light and go back to your fucking.
And they're going to be slightly weird, or they're going to try to make themselves slightly weird. Oh. You know, I didn't realize that Joker did so well at the box office.
Huge hit, massive hit.
Over $1 billion.
This is going to be big too. It's got a lot of buzz behind it, especially since Gaga's in it as Harley Quinn.
I mean, and I like Lady Gaga as an actress.
Yeah, no, I will go one step further and say I don't even think Joker is fine. I think Joker is a sorely misguided movie that doesn't actually have anything to say. It just so happens to have a mesmerizing Joaquin Phoenix performance at the center of it.
Yeah,
that's fair. That is the best thing for it.
And honestly, so when I say fine, it's like I balance that out, right? Like his performance is great.
Yeah.
The movie around it is dog shit.
It's Todd Phillips doing Taxi Driver, and it's like...
poorly.
It's like the fast food version of Taxi Driver. Right. You know, there are
like literally, it's like he read the cliff notes of Taxi Driver and was like, I get it.
Yeah. And it feels like this might be like him doing King of Comedy and New York.
Yeah.
But with Joker now. Yep. So
cool.
Especially because this is supposed to be they were calling it a musical. They've since clarified because like it's supposed to be kind of like a jukebox musical where like the music will be a very key element as far as like you can see there's like fantasy musical sequences in it. I hope he's got something else up his sleeve other than like Harley Quinn's not real
Joker card. Like up his sleeve, like a card would be.
Nate, did this give you any more interest to watch the first Joker or like?
Well, yes, I. It's a film that I should see, right?
Yeah, you should.
It's worth a film seeing.
The performance is really good.
But I watching this, I'm like, there's just nothing about it that I love.
Even the fucking scene where they shoot it from overhead in the four different color umbrellas, it's so forced.
You know what my favorite thing about the trailer was at the end, the smile, where the camera angle matches the lipstick put on the thing. I'm like, oh, that's fun. That's a fun little thing. Fun little camera trick.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, I'll go see it, you know.
Even the title is even pretentious, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Quit taking yourself so fucking seriously with this. This is bullshit.
Well, you know.
So you're going to hate Twitter for like 3 weeks in this.
Oh, God. You know, it's just more hashtag, you know what? They don't understand people like me and the Joker. Oh, fuck your face.
We live in a society.
Fuck your fucking face.
Well, and then it's going to be right around the election time, too, and this is going to explain why, you know, all the people don't want to vote. Like, all the young men, they're like, you know, I just, you don't understand. I see the system. I see the system the way the system is.
The anarchy needs to happen anyway. Mom's paying the bills.
Joker makes some great points. that's Joker Folie à Deux.
Folie à Deux. Deux meaning two, meaning shit.
Deuce. We watched another trailer called Transformers 1.
Yeah, that's one for piss.
Oof. You got a lot of toilet humor.
You're not liking anything.
Yeah,
tonight.
No, I'm in a mood, boys.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I was pretty disappointed in this trailer, too. This is a new animated version of Transformers that will basically give the origin of characters like Optimus Prime and Megatron and Bumblebee. It's set on Cybertron.
Brad, let me ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead. What's your favorite Transformers memory?
These listeners of ours,
yeah,
that have been around for, let's say, quite a while.
Yeah.
Nate, this is going to predate you, buddy.
That's fine.
Used to have a conversation about the Cars universe,
yeah,
on this show, mm-hmm, quite often.
Yeah.
Why do cars have handles? Why is there a school bus?
Yes.
Why are the cows tractors?
Yeah, they like to be felt.
Right. We get it.
Yeah.
Brad,
yep.
I asked you in this trailer for Transformers 1.
Yeah.
I made a joke because in the trailer, they can't transform yet. They're young bots.
Correct.
But then they do transform, and they transform into cars, but they haven't been to America yet.
But they don't transform into, like, our cars.
They still transform into cars, though.
But they transform into, like,
vehicles. A motorcycle, yeah, like it looks like the bat cycle.
So, but I totally recognize and I agree with your sentiment on this. But I do think in this case there is a somewhat reasonable explanation because
they have to.
Because
what they are
in other societies, like obviously a round wheel is the like fastest way to get around. So other advanced societies would figure out vehicles that have wheels and using them, in addition to vehicles that fly, that kind of thing, you know? So it makes sense to me that they have
futuristic.
I know. If I were someone trying to justify this as a storyteller,
I feel like you kind of are trying.
I don't like the fact that they're fucking robots, but somehow they can get bigger. Is that what it's going to be? Like, are they really going to grow into like larger Transformers?
Well, they're aliens too.
Well, I don't think they necessarily get bigger. It's just that when they get the ability to be able to transform, they're able to like
add parts to themselves?
Expand parts of their body.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Either way, I don't think this movie looks good.
Listen, I don't care about this. I don't care that these are semantics. This is the hell I'm dying on.
This is why I had a stand-up bit about Transformers fucking.
This is very true. It just sounds like a Skrillex song.
Yeah. But I don't like the look of this movie. It looks like a Nickelodeon animated series.
They're
from
trying
the mid-2000s.
To do something for the kids.
Yeah, it's and I get it. This is going to work for kids like Gangbusters. They're going to love it. They're going to love the jokes. They're going to love the vibe between the characters. It's computer animated, but I don't like the animation style, especially now that we're living in a world where Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse exists and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, mm-hmm, Mutant Mayhem. You've taken, you know, these characters and you've given them these incredibly mesmerizing visual makeovers, and then here's Transformers clunking in looking like a 2007 animated series.
It really looks so basic.
And it looks like it should be a series on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I hate the way their faces look. There's nothing. It's
Brad says that about a lot of his enemies.
It just feels
hate
hollow.
The way their faces look.
It feels hollow,
and
lifeless, and like it just feels like it's trying way too hard to like be cool. And but
yeah, Eric Henderson.
I would have much rather preferred like a series where they did like a cell shaded but like more detailed, like almost like version of like the 1980s cartoon style. You know, that would have been cool. I will say Chris Hemsworth is doing a pretty decent job doing a Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime.
Yeah,
this was younger.
Yeah,
you know?
And there's a few lines in there where I was like, oh, that sounded like Optimus Prime.
That was really good.
Yeah,
so, Hemsworth is a good actor.
He's solid.
Beautiful. Also, I've seen him in person.
Brad's met him in person.
No, I had seen
no, but Brad met him. They have an inside joke.
No, you don't have an inside joke.
They do. They have an inside joke.
I'm not sure I call it inside joke.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, like the cast is great in this too. It's Chris Hemsworth, Brian Tyree Henry, Scarlett Johansson.
Anything about that joke that you want to
Keegan-Michael Key?
You want to say, or you're just gonna let that one go?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine with it. It's not a big deal.
Steve Buscemi.
Sure. Is it nothing about Ghostbusters?
I'm actually the one who met Chris Hemsworth. but yeah, I was hoping this was going to be something that like got me excited about Transformers again in a cool way, like Ninja Turtles and Spider-Man, but I was just so disappointed.
When I read an article first a couple weeks ago about this trailer that was coming out, and when I read the cast list, I was like, fuck yeah, a live action with all these people? Like, they're finally going to reboot it and do it right.
Well, not live action. But
no, that's what I thought it was.
Oh, you thought it was a live action movie? Oh.
That's a great cast.
Jesus.
You know? Yeah. It would have been incredible. And now I'm like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, nothing there.
What was the other trailer we watched?
We watched the trailer for A Trap. Which is M. Night Shyamalan's latest movie starring Josh Hartnett, who is on a comeback.
God, I love Josh
Hartnett. Thanks to Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer did him some favors, and he's returning him.
Josh Hartnett's doing himself some favors. He's a solid actor.
No, he is. He
specifically took time off after he could have been bigger than he was, but he said no.
He's always been a solid actor, and I'm glad that he's getting this opportunity to come back. If you haven't watched this trailer, before we talk about it, I'm going to recommend that you actually go watch the trailer.
Whoa.
I had a weird burp hiccup.
I thought you were getting emotional.
Did you go watch this
trailer? Watch the trailer first. It means a lot to me.
No, go watch this trailer.
Pull your car over.
Because the trailer itself has a twist, like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
It gives away the film.
I don't think it does, though, because I guarantee you there's going to be something else that like ends up coming
out. I don't know. If M. Night Shyamalan is known for anything, it's a straightforward plot.
Okay, then predict the twist.
All right, what a twist. What is it?
My prediction would be that.
Okay, wait, everybody, did you watch the trailer? Okay, this is your last chance. Okay, now we're going to talk about it, but let's talk about the trailer first, and then we'll talk about what the twist will be.
Okay, so this is, I love this trailer.
I do too.
It's a great trailer.
It's a really cool trailer. I love the setup. I love the payoff. I love how it reveals what it is. I'm very intrigued to see how the whole thing plays out. It's such a fun concept for a thriller.
So it starts off with Josh Hartnett just taking his younger daughter to a Beyonce or Taylor Swift level concert.
Right.
And it's just father, daughter, dad, these seats slap. I'm so happy to be here.
You see a dad trying hard to connect with his daughter.
Dad goes, hey, I'm going to leave you in the seat. I'm going to go get some popcorn or whatever. And he leaves her. And he goes up to the concession stand. And
he notices that there are cops at the doors. Seems like there's a lot of police activity happening.
Cameras.
And so he asks, he's like, hey, what's going on with all the cops? And he's like,
a very overly helpful security guard.
I don't know why we're talking about this as if you haven't just watched the trailer.
But the crazy part to me is, though, like, that was a little, I mean, I'm sure there's more to it.
Yeah.
Maybe he like had interactions with him before.
Yeah.
Because the setup in this is like, this is a stranger, and like, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. So clearly there's probably,
I think it's that extra effort Josh Hartnett puts in to like actually introduce himself, be like, hey, I'm so-and-so. Like, let me ask you this.
That's my guess is that he's interacted with him before. This is like the second or third time he's interacted.
Maybe.
With this guy. Anyway, the guy tells him, oh, you know that killer that they're fucking looking for? This whole thing is a trap.
Yeah.
And they're lining the building with all these cops.
That's where the name of the movie comes
in. Josh Hartnett checks his camera at his house, and it says basement cam, and there's a young man tied up, and he is the butcher. He's also trapped.
That's another place where the movie title comes in.
So now that we all, because I wanted to explain it just for those that didn't pull over but still wanted to know what was going on.
Yeah.
So now that you know the plot of the film, or what we think the plot of the film is, M. Night Shyamalan me up, Brad. What do you think the twist is?
First of all, I just want to reiterate how cool this trailer was, because I'm now very excited to see this movie. It's rare, I think, that you get a trailer that kind of like reveals itself like this and has like a cool surprise.
Do you give it to M. Night Shyamalan because you know there's like, this is enough? Like, if it's not M. Night, you go, well, I just watched the whole film.
No, I do. Because,
but with him, you're like, oh, there's going
to
be more.
Yeah, because that's clearly the setup, but like, there's so much that needs to happen.
But I love that you only know that because of who the filmmaker is.
Exactly.
He has earned that right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did say, like, there was an interview he did afterwards, too, of giving that up. He's like, I don't know what else you do, like, if you don't give that up. Like, that's like,
how do you tell people to come see the film?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
For me, it's basic. It's the prediction that I'll make is that Josh Hartnett is not the only one who is like the butcher, and that his daughter is also in on it.
Ooh,
daughter in on it. That's a move.
Because
the daughter's like 13.
That's a choice.
Exactly, and it'd be pretty twisted.
Yeah, that would be pretty twisted. Okay, all right.
And she's trapped in a cycle.
So yeah, father-daughter serial killer.
Despair.
I think Josh Hartnett is not the butcher.
But he's just another killer.
Do you want to let me finish, or?
Just another killer at the show. Just oddly.
I think.
Well, there's a lot of killers that you don't know about now.
I think he's not the butcher, but I think he is. I think the whole thing is a setup for the actual butcher has forced him to be there with his daughter, and that person, he is like his best friend or something, and he's like, I'm going to kill this person if you don't act like you're the butcher.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I think.
That could be pretty cool. I'd be down with that.
Nate, what do you think?
I think it is what the trailer says.
Josh Hartnett's the butcher, and he's just got to figure a way out.
Well, no, hey, and guess what? If it
that would be the best
and
twist.
And there's still a different twist that we haven't figured out. Then more power.
No, I just think that it's just straightforward, and M. Night Shyamalan is like, and end, like fiend.
At the end, Josh Hartnett gets caught.
The whole time, done. It's just so straightforward.
You guys were waiting. You guys kept on waiting. But I saw it the whole time.
Stomach is in knots.
I saw it the whole
time.
Until the
very last frame of the movie. They're like, what the fuck? He just got caught?
It takes place in Philadelphia, though. So maybe...
Do you think there's a line in the movie where Josh Hartnett's character goes, it's me. I'm the butcher.
I hope that Bruce Willis shows up as Unbreakable.
Oh, that's just sad now.
Why?
I don't think
aphasia-related incidents, Brad.
I think he broke.
Oh, so because he has aphasia, he can't be a superhero now?
Yes.
Pretty rude, man.
Yeah, man, pretty clear.
Actually, that's exactly what it means.
No, just because you have conditions doesn't mean you can't do things.
I have terms and conditions.
All right.
Well, it's been fun.
Thanks for coming to the podcast.
One day we'll write a game one day. We will. I'll do one. I'm sorry.
And one day... We'll have a 100th episode, and we'll have a 200th episode.
But that's not why you're here. You're here because you love us.
Yeah, but we probably should do that before,
one day.
Before the
show, the world ends.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, Ben will start appreciating boobs again.
And you know what?
Don't count.
Not a day too soon.
But yeah, we'll have to make that happen. We'll have to get some people to come downtown.
Again, that was not even close to Jamaican at all.
I wasn't trying to.
Some people coming to downtown. Just because like the two syllables downtown are elongated. Downtown. Like
downtown.
You have taffy in your mouth. Downtown.
I love taffy.
Really? That Laffy Taffy?
Laffy Taffy.
That Laffy Taffy. That Laffy Taffy.
I also love just the taffy you can get from the hardware store and the wax paper wrappers.
Do you only get hardware store taffy?
That's not the only taffy I get.
Do you like the
Hold on a second, Nate. I want to talk to Brad for a second. How much taffy are you eating?
Not more than a normal person.
What do you think a normal person eats?
I'm not going to answer that.
I feel like this is a trap.
This is an interrogation. You're
not eating, are you, M. Night Shyamalan?
You're not eating taffy once a week, though, right?
No, God, no.
Once a month?
I got other candy for that. Well, that sound means
we're wrapping it up. It's time to go to bed. All right. Well, guys, thanks so much for being here. As always, I'm glad we're back on there. We're going to we always strive to record weekly, but shit happens.
It's been busy.
It's been real busy. Don't worry. It's only going to get busier for a couple of us. So buckle up and fucking open water, Nate. That's your movie.
We're going to assign movies earlier this time.
I already got mine from last night.
You get another one, though.
Oh, man.
We're going to get back on track for you, the listener, because we love you and respect you, and we respect your time.
Oof, that's a...
You know what? I do.
Okay, that's fair.
Oh, that's good for you. You are always the greatest.
Hey, and you know what? Send me feet pics.
Jesus. Gross. You're nasty.
All right. This be good to yourself, be good to others. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Nah, cheating, eh?